And we're keeping an eye out for the Trump administration's response to that major climate change report that Scott mentioned, the one that came yesterday from the UN's Intergovernmental Panel of Climate Change. The report concluded that without aggressive action to curb greenhouse gas emissions, we'll feel severe consequences of climate change by 2040. Duke University Earth Sciences Professor Drew Shindell is one of the authors of the study. Professor, so far there has been a muted response to the report from the Trump administration. An EPA spokesperson said that it appreciates the hard work on the report, but the governments do not formally endorse specific findings presented by the authors. And, quote, the U.S. continues to lead the world in greenhouse gas reductions, having reduced our emissions by 14% since 2005. Professor, what's your response to that?
Well, that's not world-leading. That was a step in the right direction, although that was primarily driven by market forces, almost exclusively by the declining costs of renewables and natural gas. And so power companies are switching to those energy sources rather than coal and closing down old coal-fired power plants. The EPA also talked about, in response to the report, talked about how the U.S. supports the use of coal as a fuel and supports the development of clean coal technologies that they could then export to other countries. But that, I would say, completely fails to recognize the urgency of the transition that's described in the report, which says we really have to get rid of about 70% of our coal by 2030, with the rest going away by the middle of the century. And so we're not talking about having some new technology decades down the line. We're talking about dealing with coal starting now, dealing with it in the 2020s.
How could it be dealt with in a way that would appeal to the markets, appeal to President Trump, given that he campaigned on bringing back coal jobs and, as you said, talks about clean coal where carbon emissions are captured? What's wrong with that picture?
Well, what's wrong with that is we don't really have the technology to do that at scale for a reasonable cost. And so the reason that we are transitioning away from coal is because other fuels are already cheaper, and adding carbon capture and sequestration technology to coal-fired power plants would make them even less economically competitive. So it's inconsistent with the kind of transformation we really need, which the report describes as coal going down by about 70 to 80% by 2030, and renewables becoming half to two-thirds of our energy production by 2030. So we're expanding renewables, but not nearly at that pace, with the exception of a couple states like Hawaii and California that are on track for that.
And you're saying that that would be made up only by the federal government, that the federal government, in other words, is the only one in a position to make that kind of difference?
Well, it's not only the federal government. It's also consumers. One of the things we talk about is reducing consumption of red meat, because cattle take an enormous amount of land. It leads to deforestation, both for grazing land for the cattle and for growing crops to feed to the cattle. If we eat less red meat, we can reduce the footprint from methane and carbon dioxide related to cattle by a large amount. But we're not talking about going vegetarian. What we're talking about is going to the World Health Organization's dietary recommendations in the first place, because most people in the West eat too much meat, more meat than is good for them. So we're really talking about consumers taking actions, using more biking and walking and mass transit instead of driving their car, choosing energy efficient appliances. We really have to all be in this together to make it work.
I wonder what it's like for you as one of the authors of this report, who clearly put a lot of time into it, to arrive back in the United States after the release of the report in South Korea and hear really almost zero response from Washington.
Well, unfortunately, that's not a surprise these days. Washington is really enamored of the fossil fuel industry, and there are many that seem to value the short-term profits of fossil fuel companies and automotive companies above the both short-term and long-term welfare of the American population. You know, getting rid of coal is a perfect example. It sends hundreds of thousands of kids miss school because of asthma induced by pollution from coal-fired power plants. People die from respiratory and cardiovascular disease from coal-fired power plants. And we have cheaper sources of electricity. So there's no reason whatsoever to keep using coal when we have better alternatives, and we know that coal is extraordinarily damaging. And yet the administration is moving in the exact opposite direction from what makes sense for the people writ large. And instead, it's what makes sense for a small group of coal companies.
So for a call to action for Washington, for the EPA, for the White House, if it could do one thing now, what would you want it to be?
If Washington could just do one thing, the thing would be to put a price on pollution that really reflects the true cost. And so that's the cost that comes from paying for disaster recovery after climate-related disasters. It's the public health burden from increased heat waves from climate, from respiratory and cardiovascular disease. And then we'd see that the real cost of using coal as a fuel, for example, is several times what the market currently reflects. That it's in our best interest, when taking a broad view, to pay a little bit more for electricity even, or vehicles that are more efficient, because in the long run, we come out far ahead.
Thank you, Professor Drew Schindel of Duke University. He's one of the authors of the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which issued a major report yesterday. Thank you very much.
Thank you.